Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Carroll's Corner MMA Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Carroll. Today's show is brought to you by MyMMAnews.com, and we're joined by Luis Gonzalez. Luis, how you doing? Luis, can you hear me? All right, I don't know if Luis can hear me right now, but we're being joined by Luis, and hopefully he'll be able to hear us in a second. But be sure to follow MyMMAnews.com on social media at MyMMAnews. So, all right, Luis is telling me there's no sound. All right, he's going to try and call again. All right, well, as soon as we get him back on the line, that'll be awesome. But if any of you who are listening and want to call in to ask Luis a question, please do so by dialing 323-870-4011. So make sure you call in, ask him a question or myself a question. And as soon as we get him on the line, I think we got him now. Here we go.
Hello?
Luis, are you with us? Hey, can you hear us?
I'm here.
Awesome, awesome. And now we're joined by Luis Gonzalez. We got the sound figured out. Luis, thank you for coming on. Appreciate you having you on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's been a while. How's everything going?
Things are going well. Things are going well. I guess we can just jump right into it. Tell us about your fight coming up. And, yeah, just tell us about your fight coming up.
Yeah, it's going to be for Dead Serious MMA out in Jersey. Freehold, New Jersey, with a gentleman named BJ Young. To my understanding, their current 145-pound champion, 6-0 undefeated. So I'm going to go over to Jersey and put on a show, man. I'm going to go take home another.
Now, from my understanding, is this a professional fight? Is this your pro debut?
Unfortunately, no. He's been having a little bit of issues. Jersey claims there wasn't enough video, or I guess my record doesn't hold any weight after the new rules came into play. So I have to take an amateur fight. So I heard this is going to be his last amateur fight. So this is a good test for me, going against someone who's, you know, undefeated, 6-0, pretty much ran through most of his opponents before I go pro. Hopefully this would be my last amateur fight.
Okay. So I just tell us a little bit about the issue. You briefly mentioned it. New Jersey's Athletic Commission doesn't think you've had enough fights and stuff under the new rules in MMA for New York. Tell us about what you've been going through and kind of the struggles they're giving you.
Really understanding where you fall with pretty much none of my fights mattered, according to New Jersey, that I've had in New York. So I was under the impression that, given that, you know, I signed up with the Athletic Commission, all my fights are online, you can see typology and all that, it's there, that there's records of my fights, but no, I had to go get a physical done in New Jersey because my physicals in New York were invalid or they didn't transfer over, so it was driving 2.5 hours to get a medical in New Jersey when, you know, all my doctors are in the city was a bit of a hassle, and also paying out of pocket. But it's just been frustrating not knowing where you stand. After my last fight for New York Fight Exchange, I was expecting to go pro, and that was back in the week. And I like to stay active, so the last couple of months have been very frustrating.
Now, you talked about having to travel 2 hours to get a physical. Is there anything different on the New Jersey physical than there is on the New York State physical? Or is it just a matter of them just being kind of a creating a hassle and making you just go the extra mile?
Well, the only difference, there was two. They did do a CAT scan, and they had they also dilated my eyes and make sure everything was okay. That's usually the CAT scan I've never had to get done in New York. It's usually go get your physical. The doctor checks you, make sure everything's okay. Blood work is done. But I found that weird, just having to go to a specific location, right? You know, I have health insurance, so not being able to say, hey, I'm going to go to this doctor and have, like, I'm not exactly sure what's the protocol for it. You know, everyone I've dealt with in the medical system for New Jersey was awesome. They took care of me. It was amazing. But just, like, the way it all happened for me was a pain. I was traveling back from New Mexico, and that same day I had to go get the physical so I can get this fight on the road.
No, I saw on social media, Facebook and Instagram, you were over in New Mexico at a Winkle John, Jackson Winkle's gym. Tell us a little bit about that and how it looked like you were training there for a bit.
Yeah, I know one of the guys down there at Seven Dice. So me and him have been talking back and forth about heading down there. And he put in a good word for me, and it's Coach Harry put in a good word for me. And I was talking to a couple of my sponsors, and I mentioned to them how I wanted to go train for a week, just kind of get away from New York and spend an entire week or, you know, starting a training camp down there. And they made it happen. So that was a blessing. Went down there, met a lot of cool people. I got to see where, you know, the line is from being a pro and then being the best in, you know, in your division, and understanding where that falls and where you fall into that. I met a couple of the top guys that are up and coming, like Jose Shorty Torres, the Thai flyweight champion, the Thai FC flyweight champion. So getting to train with him and, like, Shaw Watterson, Diego Sanchez was there. So it was very eye-opening for me. Being out there and knowing, like, hey, I can hang with the pros, and then coming back to New York, I'm just trying to make a living off this and follow a dream here.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned, what was the biggest, I guess, you were there for a week, correct, you said?
Yeah, I went to try it out for a week.
Now, what was the biggest thing that you saw was a huge difference from, like, New York and the trainers, the coaches, and the other athletes compared to that gym in New Mexico? Like, we know that's one of the best gyms in the whole world. But what was the major difference?
I guess the biggest difference down there is everyone in that gym is there for the same purpose. There wasn't anyone in that gym who wasn't trying to fight. So you didn't have, like, guys coming in once a week just to get a workout in. Everyone there was trying to fight. So there weren't any entry-level classes. There weren't beginner classes. You were expected to know certain things. You know what I mean? Like, you were expected to know how to throw a jab, how to defend yourself, you know, sprawl and things of that nature. And there was more about, there was one class that was literally 50 people on the mat training at the same time. And just going from different person to person. So you have a lot of high level guys consistently. There isn't, like, an East Brown. And it's treated as such. You're expected to walk in there and you're a professional. There's no one, like, holding your hand, like, hey, you need to come train at this time. You need to come train. It's up to you. Like, you show up, you got to do your work, and the gym is 0-4 hours to train. You got to get your work in. There's no one babysitting. So I think that was the big difference, is the business mentality of it.
So everyone looks at it as a job. They're not there for, you know, maybe this works out for me, maybe it doesn't.
Exactly. Everyone, like, you have people flying in from Scotland and Australia and, you know, Italy, and they're coming in spending money to train. So everyone there is taking it seriously. When it's time to train, it's time to train. So
that's awesome. Yeah,
I found that was the biggest.
That's very cool. Now, do you know who you said your opponent is for a title? What can you expect from your opponent within inside the cage?
From what I've seen and what I'm being told by my camp, he's a very strong wrestler. I believe Division II NCAA. So he has good credentials. All his fights, well, he's won 6 fights, I believe, like 3 submissions and 3 decisions. But they all follow the same pattern. Puts on a lot of pressure and uses his wrestling to get it to the ground and then create opportunities for the submission. So I'm expecting that. I'm expecting for him to come in and try to chain shots together and force me into a wrestling match, which is I have to be smart enough to avoid it and use my striking to keep it where I want it.
Now
I'll tell you
the
whole game plan.
Yeah, for sure. what coaches will be joining you in the corner?
Of course, my coach Tito, he's the head coach, so he's going to be there. My coach Marcus and my coach Ruben, who's been really helping with my striking. Just he's a predominantly Thai guy, but he's so fast and well-conditioned, so he's been adding a couple of ripples to my game there. And also, I'm going to try to employ some of the things I've learned down in New Mexico.
Okay, cool. Now, is this the main event, co-main event, or are you not sure yet?
There, I'm not 100% sure. Like, I was out in New Mexico. I got the call on a Monday night. Coach Cheeto called me. He's like, hey, they offered you a fight April 8th. Do you want it? Like, all right, cool. He's like, okay, is that 145? I need you to get the medical. So I flew in on Tuesday, got all the paperwork and the medical and all that stuff. I didn't find out who exactly I was fighting until, was it Friday? Yeah, I think it was Friday or Saturday when I actually saw the picture of who it was and their name. So, like,
awesome.
The details, I'm not really too sure about that. I just know I saw what I saw from that day on and been working on implementing a game plan.
just showing up and fighting, that's the most important part,
just,
right?
Exactly. Like, I don't really ask who's it going to be. My job is to show up, try to put on a good show, and win. That's it.
Now, why was it so, I guess, important to get a license in New Jersey? Is it because you want to fight pro in New Jersey at, like, Ring of Combat and the other – and I know Dead Serious also has pro events as well. Is that one of the major reasons for trying to get a New Jersey license?
It was more to try to make it as easier as possible for me and, you know, the team to travel alongside me fighting in New Jersey, an hour away from where we all train. It just made it an easier transition for me. I wasn't opposed to going to Alaska event if that's what I needed to do. But we were under the impression that because we've seen it with other fighters coming who have fought in the circuit of New York, that they've gone over to New Jersey and they've been able to fight pro, no problem. They didn't have to fight an amateur fight. So, you know, we were kind of hoping for the same treatment. I think I have a good enough resume to say, hey, look, I fought these guys, really good guys. I can, handle myself with the pros going in. It just didn't work out that way. We actually got an offer for December to fight pro, and the athletic commission shot it down.
Interesting. I'm gonna have to look into it and see what their criteria is exactly for becoming a pro. I'm really interested in knowing this now. So you're fighting. When is your fight? Is it Saturday or Friday?
It's a Saturday night, April 8th.
Okay, awesome, excellent. Now you said you're hoping to go, it's after this fight, you're hoping to go professional afterwards. Is there someone in line, or do you plan to still fight 135, or is there another weight class you're looking to go to?
I mean, hopefully, I just think when I walk around near 145, I'm when I'm not being fat, like, and eating everything in sight, I'm 150 normally. So 135 just falls for me once I'm really into camp. But man, coach calls me and tells me there's a fight offer. I just take it. I never asked who it is, what weight. He calls me, hey, you want to fight on this day? Okay. Then I get the logistics of it. I would love to fight 135 if it's possible. If it needs to be 145, that's what it takes. Cool. If I have to cut out the cake and go down to 125 to make it happen, I guess that's what I'm going to have to do. But I'm going to try to not cut out the cake.
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense. But after this fight, and maybe there isn't, I guess, like a pro fight coming up and there's another opportunity to fight maybe in New York, you're already the KTUFO champ, ACC champ, as well as there was another title in there that you got, I know, NYFE, right?
You're already fighting in New York, standing the way it was explained to me at the hospital. I would have to retake my physical to fight in Jersey, and that's another $600.
Okay.
See, so there it becomes a problem. $600 doesn't sound like a lot, but
it is a lot of money during the training camp.
You know? And when you're fighting amateur and you're not getting compensated for the fight, you know, I'm not making that money, that $600 back. If it was like, hey, I'm going to spend $600 and then, you know, I'll get whatever it is to show and win, then I made that money back. But to my understanding, if I come back to New York to compete, which, you know, I would love to, but then I have to go spend another $600. If Jersey says I can't go pro, then it's like, is it really worth it at that point?
Yeah, gotcha. So, all right. Yeah, so that makes total sense. So fight's over. What's the timetable to becoming pro? Right away, as soon as the fight's over, you're going to start applying for your license and kind of look, try and book a fight right away? What's the game plan?
Me personally, that is my game plan. As soon as I finish this fight and win, I'm going to reapply for my pro license. I would really what else do I have to prove in the amateur ranks? I think, I had a good run. You know, there's some guys that have had longer amateur careers, shorter amateur careers. I think I've had a good amateur career. I can start testing myself in the pros, you know, and also making a little money off of what I enjoy to do would be nice. There's only so many times you can fight for free and keep wanting to do it.
Yeah, definitely. Now, so what is the biggest, I guess, change, if you have to make any? I don't even know if you have to. I've seen you fight several times. You're really good inside the cage. But from going from amateur to pro, what is the biggest step, I guess, maybe you'll have to take? Is it diet? Is it just more hours in the gym?
Well, from what I saw in New Mexico, it is the amount of time put into the craft. Guys like Diego Sanchez, you know, been fighting for years. He was there almost like every day that I was there. He was there training for hours. And it's just working on his craft, whether he was, if you look at his Instagram, training on a mountain to training inside the gym, just honing his craft. So I think that's the difference. And also the level of the people that you're training with also may have to change. I'm blessed that I'm in a journey with my team and those guys are also going pro, so we're kind of pushing each other and continuing to grow. But if you're in a situation where you're the only person in your entire school that's looking to go pro, it might be a little tough to get other people to push you. So what I thought was the biggest. You're going to need everything has to step up a little bit. Everything. If you want to be great, you know, there's a difference between being pro and reaching, you know, the highest level.
Now, I guess, tell us a little bit more about your gym. I know a little bit about your gym, but I guess for those who may be listening, that don't really know where you train currently and what your gym has to offer. I guess tell us a little bit about your gym.
So I train out of East Coast United in the Bronx, 5763 Broadway, Kingsbridge area. Our head coach is Tito Hartz. And we're a small gym, but we're a bunch of scrappy guys. Right now we have Ross Richardson, who will soon be fighting for the 155-pound titles in New York City. Kids and Animal, you have the twins, Brandon and Christian Medina, who at 125 have been lighting it up. So then we also got a couple of new guys coming up that you will be seeing hopefully April 28th. Victor is going to be fighting. We have Badis coming up. These all, like, and we have Marcus, Captain America, physically a gifted, like NCAA football player. So we're small. We're not too flashy. We don't really come in. You're not going to walk into the gym and see a lot of flashy stuff. We're more about really getting in there and grinding. Classes ended at 9 p.m. There were people in there training until 10:30, 11 o'clock. You'll have guys,
Days
were in there at 6 in the morning to train. Like, literally a group of us will get together, sometimes 6, sometimes you'll have 10 guys there at 6 in the morning to train, or we'll stay until, you know, darn near midnight to train. So that's what you're going to get in our gym. You're going to get a lot of hungry guys looking to train, like looking to compete, looking to push each other. And we're so long pushing each other, it becomes like a family. We hang out together. We celebrate the highs and the lows together. We go out to eat together, met each other's family, things of that nature. So you build a camaraderie and a bond with all these guys. And we also offer yoga, which is by far the hardest class I've taken there. Miss Coach May gives the best yoga class I've ever taken in my life.
I hear that a lot. A lot of athletes in general, it doesn't matter what sport across the board, are taking yoga. What is the biggest beneficial of it?
For me, it keeps me in every fight that I've done, and it just keeps my muscles more relaxed. So after a week of training, then going to yoga class and being able to relax and strengthen my core, and also helps with my flexibility. I don't know if you notice, I'm not the tallest guy in the world. So me being able to kick, like Bianco, who's 6 foot, kick him in the face,
mm-hmm.
That was all the yoga. I was not exactly that flexible. So it helps keep me relaxed. It helps my muscles rebuild, and really helps out with the flexibility.
Now, you're currently 6-1 in your amateur career. You're shooting for your 7th victory. Your last loss was 4 fights ago, I should say, because you're on a 3-fight win streak. What did you learn from that that loss that you suffered? It was a submission arm lock, but then since then you had 2 big TKOs and then another unanimous decision in a 3-round fight. What did you learn from that loss?
Well, that loss really opened my mind to understanding that the mental does affect going into the fight. And not to make excuses, but inside the fight, your mind has to be solely focused on the task at hand, because the person in front of you is a skilled athlete trying to, quite honestly, put your lights out. So you have all your focus has to be in there. I remember vividly going into the 3rd round, Coach JoJo was telling me, like, hey, I need you to change up the speed. I need you to throw 2 jabs, 2 quick jabs, 1 to the head, 1 to the body, and then follow with a right hand, cut the angle. And I'm like, okay. He's like, are we on the same page? And I'm like, I can't feel my hand. And he's looking at me, what? I'm like, yeah, I'm so mentally out of it, I couldn't feel my hand. So I learned from that fight to put aside everything that was going on at home. I lost my father 3 days before that fight, and I had an eye injury that mentally was just all – I wasn't focused on my opponent. I was focused on everything else that was going into the fight. and it showed once I got in there. So that's been the biggest takeaway. Like, you need to focus on the person that you're competing against and leave everything else outside. And it sounds selfish. And in this game, you have to be selfish, because once you're in the ring or in the cage and it locks, it's just going your opponent and the referee. And the referee's job is just to stop you from getting killed, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned being selfish, which, you know, there's something we were talking about the other night on Cage Den MMA, another radio show that I do. We were talking about Rampage Jackson and how he was saying his biggest regret's actually fighting, because he lost out time with his family and his mm-hmm. cousins and stuff like that. Is that something, I guess, to look back at? You're starting an early career. Do you feel like how much do you have to sacrifice in order to get this career going?
Well, people that aren't chasing something don't understand how much really you sacrifice. But, you know, when I'm getting ready for a fight, I'm working full time. I'm studying for different certifications, and then I go train what you would say the equivalent of a part-time job, 20 hours a week, maybe a little more. I don't get to always spend time with my friends and my family. Sometimes they're like, hey, we're going to go out to this bar or we're going to go out to eat, and I'm unable to go. It's like, hey, you know, I'm really beat up tonight, I can't go. It starts building a little bit of a between you and your friends. Sometimes I have to say, hey, no, I can't go hang out. I have to go train, or I have to go for a run to make sure I get my training in. There's times where, like, even you have to invest money. So there's times where I want to maybe pick up an extra shift at work or work on a side project. It's like, no, I got to put that aside because I need to make sure that the training, because you can't play fighting, you know. You're not going in mm-hmm. there to skip rope. Someone is going to be punching you in the mouth, and you have to be prepared for that. And some people in my family don't understand it. When I first started out, it was a bit of an issue of why aren't I hanging around. You also turn that around and say, like, hey, why aren't my friends and my family supporting me in my passion and my dream? And you slowly start to figure out that, hey, it's not their passion. It's yours. It's your dream. You have to make the sacrifices. They don't have to sacrifice anything for it. There's times where, you know, you go visit mom and she's making amazing plate of food and you're about to cut weight, so you're eating celery and hummus while everyone is eating. And that's what you have to do because it's what you're trying to accomplish. I understand Rampage's point.
Yeah, it's definitely a different perspective, and I give him major props for kind of, I guess, speaking out and talking about it, because not many people would, I guess, kind of talk about their dream that way, put it in a different perspective for people. But how could people find you on social media that want to follow your career?
If on Instagram, you can follow me at DLG23. You can look me up on Facebook, The Assassin Luis Gonzalez on there. Twitter, LUISG0423. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm a little bit more active on that lately. So I'm all around. You want to find me, you'll find me.
Excellent. And you want to give any shout outs real quick before we wrap it up for any sponsors you may have?
Definitely. I want a huge shout out to Guy Sackland Defense. So, for keeping me clean and on the mats. Those guys have been great to me on the defense. So Danny Dominion for looking out for me, making sure everything on social media and the back end and the advertising has been flowing. Coach Tito, the guys at ECU, for always taking care of me. Coach May, Jackson Winklejohn for having me, for taking care of me out there. Tevin Dice for looking out for me. Tyler, thank you for helping me not shoot myself in the foot. Kyle, thank you for having me, man. Like, I have to give you props because you're one of the, like, I read the MMA scene in New York. I go out of my way to make sure I read. And you're one of the only people that actually writes about the amateurs and actual MMA. You're not sitting there writing about, like, naked girls and all this wild stuff. You putting
well,
putting
I,
stuff out
I appreciate
there that
it, man.
Actually matters to the fighters, going and digging in a little deeper. So I appreciate that stuff because we need more of that in New York City. Like, we need positive stuff coming out of the MMA scene, not just like this war machine or this other craziness or anything negative that's out there. You bring a lot of positivity to that. So I appreciate that, man. So thank you.
Thank you, man. I appreciate hearing that. I'm always glad to know that there's an audience for the material that I'm putting out there. I appreciate that.
Definitely.
Thank you for taking your time with us. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Carol's Corner MMA Podcast. We had the special guest, Luis Gonzalez. He's got his fight coming up April 8th. So I had Dead Serious MMA, so be sure to check him out. Do you know if they're streaming it at all?
They should be streaming it online. I believe it's GLTV. They're going to be streaming it. If you go on my Facebook page or my Instagram, I will definitely let you guys know.
Awesome, yeah. Check Luis Gonzalez out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And then I will also put a link. I'm going to look it up and find a link, put it inside the article as well, and I will post that up tonight. So, Luis, thank you for coming on, and I appreciate taking your time to speak with us.
Thank you for having me, man. Be safe out there. Take care.
Good luck in your fight, and we're looking forward to seeing you get in there. Have a good one. Ladies
thank
and
you,
gentlemen,
sir.
Make sure you tune in to Carol's Corner. We pop up every now and then with some awesome interviews with local fighters, so check us out. Thank you for listening, and we are out.